Many, many years ago, when I was in high school, my friends and I, we would always cross the river into Davenport to go to the Mississippi Valley Fair. Now, that was my big time for fairs. I'm not much on them. We never go to the Stevenson County or any of the county fairs, but back in high school, we'd always go over to the Mississippi Valley Fair, and we loved taking in all of the shows, because at the Mississippi Valley Fair, they'd have all of the, I don't know a better word, they'd have the freak shows. You know, like, they had one guy one time that he took these needles that are about this long, and he would shove them through his cheek, and he'd pull the skin out and shove them through his neck, and he was just, you know, he was body piercing before it was popular. But he was just sticking these things everywhere. And then another guy, we went in to see him, and he would tilt his head back like this, and he ran a sword down his throat. Just fascinated by that stuff. And we loved going to the fair and really enjoyed seeing those shows. We would ride the rides, because they always had all kinds of rides, and literally, we would ride the rides till we puked. Now, I've been waiting for an opportunity to say that word in a service. But we would. Now, a little bit of that, though, is typically before we went, we would have some liquid things that we probably shouldn't have had, and you mix that with the rides, and it helped with that whole aspect of puking. I got to say it twice. I love it. And all the things we did and all the things that we saw, the one that stuck in my mind that I remember the most was they always had this hall of mirrors. You guys ever been to a place where they have all this hall of mirrors? And they have them, you step in front of this mirror and it makes you really tall and skinny, and you step in front of this mirror and it makes you kind of short and squatted and heavy. And there's one where you step in and the body, the head's about that big, and then you step into another mirror and all of a sudden looks like you've been living with head shrinkers because your head's been shrunken down. We just had so much fun with that. I had so much fun with that, and really enjoyed going. I would go probably for no other reason than the Hall of Mirrors. And maybe I'm too easily amused, but thank you for agreeing. But seeing that distorted image of myself in those mirrors, it still makes me laugh. I can still think about that. Well, unfortunately, seeing a distorted image of our faith is not nearly as funny. And sometimes that's where we're at. As we continue today in our study of Hebrews, as we go through this morning and continue with it, we're about to wrap this up. I know we've been on it for a long time, but there's been so much in there. And we come to the final chapter. We're nearing completion of this study. And in this wonderful book, we've received a lot of encouragement. We've received a lot of correction. We've received a lot of instruction. Some of the things we've received as we've gone through it have been kind of fun and enjoyable. And it's like, boy, God is there, and He's got all these things, and He's got a plan. But then we've gone through the other stuff where, you know, God is punishing, and He's saying, you know, there's a life I want you to live. So our writer has used the light of Scripture to show us Jesus and to show us how that we're to live our lives the way Jesus would want us to do. And He's used a sharp, double-edged sword, and that's God's Word, to show us our weaknesses, our strengths, our commitments, and also the lack of commitment. And He's done this in an effort to keep us focused on what we're called to do. Through the writing and what we've read, the author has given us a mirror, actually a true mirror, an undistorted mirror that we need to look at. One that shows us and our faith for what it is. Unfortunately, folks, what happens is we often prefer the mirror of our minds. And in our minds, we paint that mirror shows us something that we're really not. And so, like those goofy views there at the fair, we see things that aren't real, and we see things that aren't true. So I want to read with chapter 13 of Hebrews, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 6. And next week we'll finish up, just so you kind of know what's coming. Next week we're going to finish up chapter 13. The week after that, we're just going to wrap everything together that we've been talking about with this book of Hebrews and kind of move on from there. But for today, just Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. It says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I forsake you,' or 'Never will I leave you,' 'Never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" In this passage of Scripture, we see this mirror image and this mirror image of what we should be, not what we make ourselves to be. And this is how we should see ourselves if we're truly surrendered to Christ. And I know I've done it before and said, okay, how many believe in Christ and you raise your hands, and how many want to follow Christ and you raise your hands? But today you're examining yourself in light of the mirrors and the reflection that you see back. And I'm going to go through this verse by verse because it just seems to fit with the things that are here. Normally I approach that differently, but it says, verse 1 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters." Now, we've discussed love many times and many occasions and many sermons, and I've talked about it. But the religious leaders one time asked Jesus in the book of Matthew, said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And do you remember how he responded? He said, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "What?" Hey, listen, we've got VIP from, you know, the state, and, you know, shoot, I wouldn't put them on the spot because I know they know the answers, but you guys help me out here, you know, make things look good. Love the Lord your God. Okay, good, we'll let it go at that. Love the Lord your God, and the second is like the first. Love your neighbors yourself. And a writer confirms this teacher and continues with it. And as we look in the mirror of Scripture, do we see ourselves continuing to love others as Jesus commanded? This gets hard. This gets hard because sometimes people are hard to love. And you know them. And you talk about them. That's a bad thing too. But people can be hard to love, but we're commanded that we're to love them. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Who do we love first? We love God. And if we love God, then we can love others. And I'd like to say that, just being honest, that every time I look in the mirror, I'd love to be able to say, when I look in the mirror myself concerning other people and how I treat other people, I'd love to say it's the perfect picture of what, or perfect reflection of what Christ would want. But you know what? That would be a distorted image from my mind. It wouldn't be the truth. Why? Well, I don't always do that. I don't always treat people the way I need to treat people. I don't always treat people the way I should. Sometimes I get grumpy. And honestly, I'm no fun when I'm grumpy. I don't like being grumpy. I like being happy and having fun with people. But sometimes, you ever do this? You just wake up in the morning and you got a grump on. You know? It doesn't matter how you sleep. You just got a grump on. And no amount of coffee changes that. It's just there. Sometimes I get busy, and so I don't treat people the way I should. Sometimes I get distracted, and sometimes, you know, I'm just plain self-centered. Maybe you guys don't face any of that. But for me, I do. And when I look in this mirror, and that mirror is to be a reflection of what Christ wants me to be like, and I see that I'm not that, there's my distorted image. And anything like that, that I talk about are really feeble excuses. The bad part is that often I look into the scripture mirror, and like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, I start off like this. It's like, well, you know, I claim that I've always done this and I've always done that, and I've been here and I've been there, and this is my life, and I've done everything good. How come you're rewarding this prodigal son over here? And the truth is, sometimes I throw that out there. But the truth is, I am less than perfect. In reality, I'm a sinner. And that's just being honest. Well, I'm picking on myself here, but what I'd urge you to do this morning as we go through this is to just take a look into your own mirrors. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm just looking at my mirrors and seeing what they say. Really, do you love others as brothers and sisters? Or is the reflection just a distorted reflection? And in order to change the images in those funny mirrors, sometimes you have to move. And sometimes if you really want to change, you need to go to another mirror, one that shows the truth. I'd encourage you really to look at your life through God's mirror, through His holy word. Well, the next image that our writer talks about comes from verse 2. It says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." I believe, and I could be wrong, it was a book many, many, many years ago, Dale Evans Rogers. Some of you know who that is and some of you don't. But Dale Evans Rogers put out a book, and I believe, if I remember the name, was In the Presence of Angels Unaware. I always loved that. I always loved that some have entertained angels unaware. And our passage here says that some have done this. We tend to think of hospitality as inviting someone over for supper. But this verse, in reality, it continues the theme of loving others and showing hospitality to strangers. You know, this includes showing hospitality at church. It includes showing hospitality at home, at work, hospitality as we go about our lives. And what it means is showing compassion and concern, speaking love into someone's life. Do you do that? That takes time. To speak love into someone's life and invest there. Lending a helping hand when possible, or an encouraging word or a prayer when needed. I want to stop there for a minute because, folks, some of you have been praying, and you know, I jump in and out of my notes a lot, and I'm doing that right now. We've been praying, and some of you know, because I know it's been on the prayer chain, about a little child that was to be born. And if you'll remember, the prayer request went out, and this little child had broken 3 bones inside the womb. The parents were told they didn't know if the child would live. And it's been very stressful. Well, this baby came into the world, because it was November. It was before Halloween, because I shared the news Halloween. Anyway, the baby came into the world, and the doctors were, we don't know if the baby's going to make it or not, roller coaster ride, all of this kind of stuff. They got the solid diagnosis. They were worried the baby was so frail that the bones could break when they'd change a diaper. And so these parents were just on edge. Well, the good news, folks, is because you've been praying, and I know you've been praying, and I want to share their appreciation for that too. The baby's at home. The doctor said, yes, the baby has this condition, and it's going to be frail and bones will break easy, but the baby's going to live. And these parents are elated. The one thing I noticed with that, and I guess the reason I share it, is that when I talked to the young man, the father, and I said to him, you know, God answers prayer. He just looked at me. He's like, you know, He really does. God showed up, and the baby's home, and the baby's doing well. And mom has now started posting pictures of the baby on Facebook. I just love it. I just love it. Because people prayed, and they were concerned, and they knew that prayer was needed. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Do you remember how he helped someone? How he tended to this person with compassion, with mercy? He tended to this person with love? Well, that's how we're to be. It may mean, you know, giving things to somebody. It may mean giving them food or clothing or money or someone in need, but it's identifying a need and seeing that need and just being there for them. It takes time. It takes effort. And you never know, you know, really who that stranger might be. The man in the story of the Good Samaritan shows kindness to a stranger. And when we look in the mirror of Scripture at ourselves, is this what we see? Do you show that kindness to strangers? Do you pour yourself into their lives, even though you may not know them? And are we showing kindness and hospitality to strangers? Or is our image distorted? Who have you walked past and not made eye contact with? Who has said something and you just ignored it and kept on going? Know them or not know them. Well, moving on, verse 3, he says that we're to remember those who are suffering. It says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. When I think of those in prison, I have mixed emotions. Because let's be honest. Let's be very, very honest here. Some people are in prison because they truly belong being there. They have done something, and in my heart and my mind, I'm glad that they're there. Well, I look at it, and they're no longer a threat to society. They've done something wrong, and they're getting what they deserve in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of society. The problem is, at times, I try to use this knowledge to excuse or justify my lack of concern. In the mirror of Scripture, there's no excuse for not praying for them. No excuse for not asking God to show Himself to them, to change them by changing their hearts. What about those that are close to the one who committed the terrible crime? Several years ago down at NIU, if you'll remember, there was a shooting. 5 young people were killed. And I was called down there, and I went down, and I remember walking around talking to students, interacting with students, and trying to make sense of something that didn't make any sense with them, and working with many others. But one lady stands out, one young girl. And I've told this story, I think I've shared it before. She's standing, and the snow was about this deep, and she's standing in the snow looking at a tree, and there was a squirrel in the tree, and she's staring at the tree. So I thought, well, I'm going to walk through the snow too. And so I traipsed through the snow over to where she was at, and just kind of came up next to her. And I says, squirrels are sure chattering. And she says, oh, they're sad. They're sad. And then I noticed that it's 20 degrees or whatever outside, and she's got a t-shirt on, but coming up her arm, she had this tattoo, a full tattoo of a squirrel, as if that squirrel was wrapped around her arm coming all the way up. Anyway, I started talking with her, and she says, you know, everybody here is mourning. Everybody here gets to express themselves. Everybody here gets to share their thoughts about this one that did the shooting. And she said, he was my friend. If you remember the story, after he had shot the kids, he shot himself. And he said, he was my friend. And he wasn't like that, and I knew that he wasn't like that, and I don't know why he did it, but I can't tell anybody. I can't talk about him. We talked for a while, and I shared with her and talked with her, and I listened to her story, listened to what she had to say. I wish it had a happy ending. It didn't, because when it came to the end, I asked her, I said, do you mind if I pray with you? It's just, oh, no. I don't want you to pray with me. I said, okay, all right. And as I left, I just prayed for her. But the thing is, who stepped into her life? And who was praying for her? And who was praying for the guy that did the killing? Sometimes we have to look at these sayings and think of those who suffer, those in prison, justly or unjustly, and we show compassion and concern for the suffering, whatever the reason. Today, we pray for a young officer that was killed. We pray for his family. We pray for his department. But what about this one that committed the murder? How do we pray for him? If it's a him, I don't know that information. It could be a her. But how do we pray? Do we pray out of hatred? No, we pray out of love. And the only way we can do that is to allow God to touch our heart. Okay, I love that song, Change My Heart, O Lord. So often that's all we need to do when it comes to showing love and to showing honor for other people. The next image in the mirror that we're talking about today is shown in verse 4. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Give honor to marriage and be faithful to each other. So let's just take a look at honor for just a minute. As we're faithful to our spouses by honoring them. And if we're looking at a dictionary and we look up the word honor, it's got many meanings, and all of them should apply to our spouses. The first meaning is high respect or esteem. Well, are you treating your spouse with high respect or esteem? And the guys are sitting here saying, oh, yeah, we sure are. And the ladies are sitting here looking at them saying, liar, liar, liar. Treat them with high respect and esteem. Are you treating your spouse that way? What does the mirror show? I look in the mirror and is it distorted or do I really see the truth? Another definition. It's called privilege. And do you consider it a privilege to be with this person who God has placed in your life? I've been with Donna 42 years, right? I've been with Donna 41 years. Honey, it seems like 42. But it is a privilege, and it's something that I love. And I'm so glad that God made her my wife. I tell you what, do you kind of feel that way with your spouse? The next definition is regard with deep respect, and it means to admire, to appreciate, to value, to cherish, to adore. Do you see this when you look in the mirror of your relationship? The next definition is fulfill an obligation or keep an agreement. Are you keeping your promise? Your covenant agreement, does that show in the mirror that you look at? In real simple terms, are you men? Are you women treating your spouses with kindness and humility? Do your words and actions say, I love you? Can you truly say that you place their wants and their needs and their desires ahead of your own? Our writer in verse 4 goes on into the topic of adultery and immorality, and we need to listen carefully to this because it comes up a lot in Scripture. And I believe if the truth was taught and the truth was learned, the world would be a much better place. Listen, God is serious, very serious about His commandments. And when He says stay away from sexual immorality, He means it. And when He says He will punish adultery, He means it as well. Well, today's message isn't on adultery, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I just want you to know this. God's punishment comes in many forms. And if you are involved in this immoral lifestyle or following these sayings, there should be the conviction of the Holy Spirit This should be convicting you of the sins and the shameful heart. There should be a lack of peace that should be plaguing your life. Now, I know most of you here, maybe all of you here, are true to your spouses, you know, at least on the outside. But what does the real mirror show? Jesus says that thinking about others with desire in your heart is the same as cheating. What does the mirror show when you look at it, folks? Well, one more image we need to address this morning, and this may affect more of us than any of the others. And this image can actually be looked at with a distorted view by all around us. This is a hard one. Remember we've talked about deal breakers? This is one of the deal breakers. And so many people fall into the trap of this deal breaker. You know the deal breakers? God, I'll do everything you've asked me to do, but not this. I'll take care of this one myself. Verse 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. You know, in the world, in the society that we live in, well-meaning Christians place way too much value on money and positions. Don't get me wrong, this is not you should live in poverty type thing. But when we take possessions and we take money and we place them above God, they become what's called idols. And even Christians will focus way too much on it. Money in and of itself is not evil. We should work hard to get ahead. However, the love of money actually changes that which is monetary to deity. And in our minds and in the mirrors of our hearts as we look, the love of money and things elevate those things into positions that they shouldn't hold. God says we're not to worship idols. And we'd never consider bowing down to a statue or an image and believe that it was God and worship it. But with money, we quickly bow down, choosing money over God. Choosing, I'm going to work instead of going to church, even though it's not mandatory that I work. Choosing money over God in terms of tithing. You know, our money is a gift from God. And when we're stingy with it, it can become a God itself. I'd go on for days on about how we place money and the position it has in our lives that it doesn't deserve. But in the image of the mirror, what we want to see is often not what we see. And sometimes the image I see is distorted. Sometimes I fail to see my own faults, thinking I'm somehow better than I am. Sometimes I see too many faults, thinking that I'm worse than I am. So we need to learn to see the real image. And in order to do this, we must look at the right mirror. God's Word is the true mirror, and we should be viewing our lives by that. And it shows us right from wrong. It gives us clear pictures of our weaknesses, but also gives us a clear picture of our strengths. We need to look at this mirror with the right mind. By the way, you're not all bad people. And everything in your life isn't messed up. Paul says in Romans 12:3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. He says, don't think about something that you are not. But he also means don't think too little of yourself. Understand that God loves you and that you were created in His image. You were created in His image. He was not created in yours. And through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, He's changed your image. And He's made you into a new creature, a new creation. And it's time to look at ourselves in that light and become the image that is shown in the mirror of God's Word. I heard someone say this. In order to see ourselves in the proper image, we should say, there is a God, and I'm not him. But I know the one who is, and he created me, and he loves me, and he gave me Jesus to make me perfect in spite of my imperfections. That's the love of God. I'm going to close. I want to read the last half of verse 5 and all of verse 6. And I want you to just hold on with this and take this with you as you leave today. It says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Folks, what mirror are you looking in today? Are you looking in the mirror of Scripture and God's Word for your life? Or are you looking in that mirror that's distorted and you see a false image of who you are? The thing is, God's always there. And he's always willing to show you the true image. You just have to open your eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have laid out a plan. And you have a plan, Lord, for each person in this room. You have a plan for their life. Father, the problem is so often we look at things and the images we see of ourselves are so distorted. We excuse things. We make more of ourselves than we should. We make excuses as to why we do or don't do certain things. And we just keep looking in those mirrors that are false. Lord, the only true mirror is in light of your word. Because your word tells us how to live, what to do. Father, your word shows us the true mirror and that we mirror the image of Jesus Christ. And our desire and our design is to follow him. So, Father, as we would leave today, I pray that we would look at that. And in those areas where we're failing, in those areas where we're weak, Lord, I just ask that each one would examine themselves and say, show me the right way, Lord, so that I follow that. And we just lift all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.